Once again, we are here broadcasting the good news of the gospel to you over there in KKMC and to those also in the internet, and later on for those who are, of course, in the tape ministry, and for those who are looking to us in Michigan and in other states through the beautiful television program. We're going to start the worshiping service today in honor of our great country, America, in honor of the veterans and Memorial Day. And so we're going to start with hymn number 532. We will follow with number 530, and then conclude with number 529. At the end of the worshiping service, we'd like to invite those who serve the Lord and serve the country and the military to come forward here for the pastor prayer. And those who are veterans, whether you are in the Korean War or in Vietnam and so on, you please come forward after we have the worshiping service so that we can pray and thank the Lord for your life and for your dedication to this beautiful and wonderful country. Number 532, please, the first hymn. The battle hymn of the Republic.
Rainfall, lightning of his terrible soul.
529. And so please, will you be kind to stand as we sing the wonderful hymn, My Country It Is to Thee. And then after, when we conclude the last stanza, I'm going to ask those who have served in the military in a veteran condition, please come forward, and we're going to pray and thank the Lord for your life, and thank the Lord for the life of those who are already in His presence, that have passed away, but especially for those who are alive. The memories of war always triggered in your mind. I remember the memories of submarine life in Vietnam. And so therefore, I'm very sure that you have different memories, and it is true that we need to have a moment of appreciation for those who put their life for this wonderful and beautiful country called America. 529, My Country It Is to Thee. Man, please come forward as we're going to celebrate together that you men have put your life on behalf of our country, on behalf of the liberty that we enjoy. The Bible says in John chapter 8 and verse 32, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. America have shed blood for many, many, many countries. I'm born in Argentina. We have the security of the Navy many, many, many times to protect our country. And I thank you on behalf of my people. And I thank you for the support of those who are alive. And I'm very sure the memories of their time is still in their heart. And for those who die, may the Lord have intervened in their life before their experience. I remember a very young fellow, who died in the battlefield, very, very young, at the age of 23, 24. They are precious to us, a man by the name Castañeda, just in the field. And we say goodbye, we see you tomorrow, and we never saw him again. And how many have those memories across their heart of people? But here we enjoy the freedom to worship the Lord, and it's because of you, man. We thank the Lord for. Father, we thank you today that we celebrate the peace and the joy of freedom because you have set in the heart of America the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you have set in the heart of these men the courage to defend the country and to stand for freedom and for what America is. Thank you, Lord. We thank these people and we thank you for their protection. Be with them, stay with them, and make them strong. And may they be an example to us of what you have done in the life of a country like ours. Father, be part of our worship today. Bless our worship from the beginning to the end. Bless those who are listening over the internet and over the radio and the television. May they too be blessed because of your presence and because of your freedom. In Jesus, our Lord, we pray. Amen. You may be seated, please. And now we're going to proceed with the offertory as the offering takes place. Marilyn and Amy Dulillo will bless us with the offertory at this moment.
Indeed, the Lord is beautiful. He is all we need. Thank you, choir. We ask you now to take your Bibles and turn to 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 12 through 20. If you didn't bring a Bible, there's a Bible provided for you in the pew, and you'll find today's reading on page 876. Please stand now for the reading of God's Word, 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 12 through 20. And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to everlasting life. Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare, holding faith and a good conscience, which some having put away concerning faith have made shipwreck, of whom Hymenaeus and Alexander, of whom I have delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. Blessed is the word of God. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you that by your mercy you have graciously reconciled us to yourself and brought us into fellowship with our Lord Jesus Christ and with each other. Lord, we pray for our nation, Father, that we would return to you, that we would turn from our wicked ways and realize once again that it is you that have preserved us a nation. We pray for those in leadership, particularly for our pastor and the deacons, that you would guide them, that they would rule and teach with wisdom. As Paul called himself the chief of sinners and recognized his own sinfulness, so we recognize ours and are profoundly and eternally grateful for the blood of Christ, which was shed for our redemption. We pray for your servant, to whom you have put in the ministry, our pastor, Gabriel Otero, as he brings the teaching from your word today, that his preaching would be effectual, both for our edification and for the salvation of any who are unsaved. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated.
Thank you, my brother. And once again, I'm delighted that we have a good group of men here in our church who have served the country. And one of them came late. And so I'm going to recognize Dr. McCormick, who served in Korea War as one doctor there, and he doesn't know what happened before, but we recognize those men that came in, and we recognize you, Dr. McCormick, as one man who put your life on behalf of our country, and we are thankful for your life and for your dedication as a medical doctor. Now, this morning, I want to call your attention to the reading of God's Word in 1 Timothy chapter 1. We started the month with 1 Timothy. Pastor took a vacation, and I'm sure that you enjoy Reverend Van Dyken, a veteran of War too, who came last Sunday. And now we recover for our vacation, or we try to recover from our vacation. We came early this morning to America from Mexico. And so I'm glad that we are ahead in time, so we are okay in our system. Now, I said that we start the studies on 1 Timothy for this month, and I concluded with chapter 1. Last study was concerning the teaching of the Apostle Paul have concern for Timothy. Timothy was a very young pastor, maybe at the age of 20, 21, 22, and the church was a very young church, maybe 20 years old or so. And so Paul, as a professor, and as an evangelist, and as a teacher, an apostle, was concerned for his disciple Timothy that he would stand in the truth. And as you remember, he taught him not to be afraid of teaching doctrine, and teaching doctrine with love, with compassion, but firm with the principle. Now today, the apostle gave a report as a soldier of the Lord Jesus. And he used that word two or three times. And I'm going to use this passage in celebration of the occasion that we do celebrate those who were soldiers in America. And my focus of attention will be on the testimony of a good soldier. The testimony of a good soldier, the Apostle Paul. And I also want to remind you that Timothy was Paul's spiritual son, and he referred him as such. Look in 1 Timothy in chapter 1 and in verse 12. 1 Timothy in chapter 1 and in verse 12. He said, unto Timothy, my own son in the faith. Now, Paul was single, and many people criticized that statement, but you have to understand that when he said in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and in verse 2, when he said, when he said in verse 2, my own son, he referred to his spiritual birth and not to his physical birth. As you notice, my own son in the faith, he said, he clarified. So he inserted the word on because he felt close to this young man who followed him and learned from him so much. Paul, as a soldier of the Lord, warned now Timothy that the false teachers would deceive the church, not only making drastic changes, but through gradual changes. Look with me at verse 6 on the same chapter. And we read in verse 6, from which some having, he used a clever word, having wandered off. That would be the translation of that word. Having wandered off, have turned aside unto vain jangling. Now, the picture we get here is not that the church took a sharp right turn or left turn. But the Apostle Paul is saying to Timothy that the church saw a fork on the road and gradually is taking a deviation from the truth. And farther we go in that direction, said the Apostle Paul, the farther we get from the truth of God's word. Remember, Ephesus is the capital of all the goddesses of the Greek Empire. Ephesus is the great architectural culture. I remember when I studied architecture, I'd have to draw many of the pictures of the Parthenon and many of the gorgeous buildings you have there dedicated to different gods. And so the influence of the natural culture was getting into the church, not as a drastic change, but just little by little by little, moving one step at a time. And the Apostle Paul, a veteran in the ministry of the gospel, want to warn this friend Timothy, please watch out, because you deviate just a little, and then you deviate a lot a little, and then and a while you're going to be far away from the truth. And so be very careful. So Paul was concerned for young Timothy, a young pastor, for he knew it was possible for everyone gradually to deviate from the truth of God's word. And so Paul really cautioned him not even give heed to such teachings, not even pay attention to such teaching. You dedicate yourself just to the teaching of God's word. Paul then unfolded his testimony to Timothy. The best way to teach Timothy to be strong is to tell him how he experienced in his life the pressure of their time. And so Paul unfolded his testimony as a soldier of Christ in order to teach Timothy how to become a good soldier in the cause of Christ. And first, he talks about his own ministry. There are two sections that I want to divide my explanation of his testimony. First, he talks about the challenge from his own ministry. And then he talks about the challenge from his own life. As you know, a pastor faces tremendous challenge in his own life as a pastor. And so Paul gives us an experience here. So let's talk about verses 12 to verse 17. That little section in chapter 1, verse 12 to verse 17, Paul gave us a testimony of a good soldier as he addressed the issue, the challenge from his own ministry, his own service as a pastor. Remember, Paul was the first pastor of the church of Ephesus. He served the church for 3 years. No wonder when you read in the book of Revelation about the church of Ephesus, God has only words of commendation about the doctrine and the teaching of the church. Well, they have a master teacher like the Apostle Paul. So Paul shared his testimony 6 times in this letter, and each time he shared it for the purpose of glorifying the Lord, not just to make himself a big man. But he affectionately shared the testimony with Timothy to motivate him to the Christian duty as a soldier. You know, as people ask me, what is a soldier? In my experience in the Navy, I had to say a soldier is somebody who never say no, all right? You don't have a chance to say no. And so a soldier is somebody who is always willing to say yes. All right, Paul's testimony falls in 3 categories. Remember, he was a philosopher, and so he speaks with great eloquency. And first, when he speaks about the challenge from his own ministry, he speaks, number one, who he was. Who he was. Look in the Bible in verse 12 and in verse 13 on 1 Timothy 1. And I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious. He tells us 2 things about himself. You know this? Who was Paul? He said, I was a blasphemer, and then I was also a persecutor of the church. Now, is he telling the truth to Timothy, or is he pulling the leg to Timothy? Well, we have a book of history, you know, in the Bible, and it's the book of Acts. So if you put one hand in Timothy and you move your Bible to the left, you find the book of Acts. That's 30 years of history of the Christian church from the time of Christ rose up into heaven until Paul really died. And so here we have Acts chapter 8 and verse 3. Acts chapter 8 and in verse 3, we have there a testimony of what the Apostle Paul says about, the history says about Paul. Remember, he said, Timothy, I was a blasphemer and a persecutor of the church. Now, we call today, when we refer to Paul, we call Saint Paul. But this is how he started. He was a blasphemer and a persecutor of the church. Now, here's the record. Acts chapter 8 and verse 3. Acts chapter 8, verse 3. As for Saul, that was his first name, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house, and hailing men and women, and committed them to prison. Now, it did not get better with Saul. It got worse. Look now in chapter 9, same book of Acts, chapter 9, verse 1 and verse 2. There we read, and Saul, chapter 9, verse 1, and Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desire of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of these way, remember the first name of Christianity was the way. If he find any of these way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. So that's the testimony of the record of history, that when he say in Timothy that he was a blasphemer and a persecutor is right. Now, Paul carried out his plans. He's not a philosopher who just speaks and so on. He went into the horse and he went on to carry on his plans. But as he carried on his plans and a real animosity against Christianity, God graciously carry out his plan and stop Saul. Look in your Bible in Acts 9. You are in Acts 9. I'm going to read verses 3 to 6 to show you how God stopped him. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus. You know, Damascus is Syria. And suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. And the Lord explained to him, It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he trembling and astonished said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise, and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. We read that scripture, and we can say together that God miraculously saved Paul. A miracle happened. God stopped Paul. He had been a blasphemer and a persecutor, making havoc of the church like a wrecking crew with a wrecking ball. Why did he do such evil things? Why did Paul do such evil things against the church? Now let's go back to 1 Timothy, to chapter 1, and verse 13. And there the apostle explained why he did what he did. I did it, he said in 1 Timothy 1:13, I did it ignorantly in unbelief. Do you see it? I did it ignorantly in unbelief. Remember what Jesus said when he was crucified. You remember when he was at the cross at the last moments? He said, Father, forgave them, for they know not what they do. That's what Jesus said. Jesus was saying that those people who were crucifying him were ignorant of what they were doing. You know, the devil wants to keep people in the ignorance of sin. The devil wants to keep people in the ignorance of sin. He knows some of the horrendous things they will do if they remain in ignorance of sin. He knows. Now, we see the ignorance of sin today in America, like we have never seen it before. I have seen and I'm seeing every day the ignorance of sin in America as I never have seen before in the 35 years I live in this country. More I travel, more I talk to people, more I reveal to them I'm a pastor, they get scared to death first thing as you travel with them. And then suddenly they place a question to you like they're going to smash you to the floor. A young man tells me in my way to Cancun after flying 4 or 5 hours, he said, "Sir, I do not believe in God because look what God is doing. Wars and problems come from God." Now, we study in Sunday school lesson where they come from today. Sin had the ability to keep people in ignorance. And I told him, that's not a problem. The greatest problem of America, I said, in this country, is abortion. Sir, I said, the fact that there is war in Israel, and the fact that was a First World War and a Second World War, and then the Korean War and so on, that's not the problem. The problem in America is abortion, because abortion murder people with permission. You know, was not in that way before. Before, in 1950, if a woman had her baby killed in this fashion, an abortion, she was incarcerated. And not only she was incarcerated, the community in which she lived was ashamed that that woman was their neighbor. Nobody in 1950 wanted to have a neighbor who committed abortion. Then the Supreme Court reversed that law. And now those who oppose a woman's right to kill her children are considered the wrong people. You see the ignorance of sin? You see that our Supreme Court may be the highest judges we have in the land, but to me, they are the most ignorant people about sin. Our Congress and our senators, our president and vice president, they're all ignorant of sin. And that's why they allow what they allow to be. There is something terrible wrong with the people of our nation who cannot see the sin of killing babies. There is something wrong in the world, and especially in America. God so created women that they will be able to bear children. He provided that the unborn child be fully protected with a special caution as part of their mother's womb. I think the children, after they are born, say, "Why I come out? I was better inside." This should be a safe place for babies, the wombs of a mother. But because of the ignorance of sin and the ignorance of our Supreme Court, the most dangerous place on the face of the earth of a baby is in the wombs of their mother. Wow! They never had read Exodus, the second book of the Bible. In Exodus 21 and in verse 22, the Bible tell us and reveal us the penalty for taking a baby. In Exodus 21, verse 22, the Bible said, "If men strive and hurt a woman with child, so that her fruit depart from her, and yet no mischief follow, he shall be surely punished, according as the woman's husband will lay upon him, and he shall pay as the judges determine." The accidental death of a baby in the wombs of a woman was murder in the Old Testament, and is murder in the Bible. But the ignorance of sin said, no. During the Gulf crisis, liberal politicians in America show their great concern for lives of men and women abroad fighting in the Gulf. Yet, because of their love for money and power, they vote pro-choice every time in the Congress. They are concerned that our men are dying in the fighting line in the Gulf, but they are not concerned that babies are dying in the wombs of women because of abortion. What causes that disparity? The ignorance of sin. The ignorance of sin. These politicians, They make it sound almost sacred when they said, I believe each woman should be able to decide for herself about abortion. They think they are speaking like God. It is a shame that the poor, the helpless baby have no choice. One day, God will bring to judgment on the murdering mothers, on the legislators and doctors who do this horrible thing in our nation every day. And Paul is pointing to Timothy 2,000 years ago. He's pointing out to Timothy and his testimony that all the sinful deeds he had committed were committed in ignorance. And so when another gentleman from Italy asked me, we're wrong in America, I say to him, I tell you what it is. People are ignorant of sin. They do not know what sin is. They know the moon. They know the internet. They know science. But they do not know what sin is. And sin causes problems. And everybody thought that was crazy. Now Paul told about who he was. Paul told Timothy about who he was. He was a blasphemer. Then he tells Timothy who he had become, who he had become. There are several things that contribute to the glorious picture of Paul. If you admire a writer in the scripture, all the scripture comes from God. But if you admire the way the scripture was written, you have to admire Paul. 25% of the New Testament is written in the highest degree of the Greek language possible. Now, what makes a man who was a persecutor and a blasphemer, what makes a man, a soldier like that, to change and now being so brilliant in the church? There are several contributors to this. One is grace. Look with me in Timothy 1 and in verse 14. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 14. We read, and the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. The grace of our Lord, he said. The grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant. Paul had been a persecutor of the church, but now he had become a child of God by the amazing grace of God. Is there something? Who changed that man? God. God. The older we grow in the Lord, we people today, the more most of us appreciate the message of the old hymn, remember? Amazing grace, how sweet that sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. It is hard to comprehend that God in all his glory and majesty could love someone like us. So we can say, oh, what a great grace we have experienced. Not only Paul, the factor of grace made Paul what he became, but also he was a great sinner. He was a great man who was honest with himself. First is grace, and then was honest with himself. Look at verse 15. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the chief. Of whom I am the chief. Paul told Timothy that he had a duty to tell every lost person that God wants to save them. That was his duty. Paul said, if any of those sinners tell you, I am too great a sinner, tell them, if God can save Paul, who was the chief of the sinners, he can save everybody. Wow. A great grace, a great realization, a personal confession that he was a sinner, and also a great gospel have changed him. Look at verse 16 and verse 17. A great grace, a great confession, a great gospel. How obeyed for this cause, I obtained mercy. You got that one? I obtain mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might shone for all the long suffering, that means patient, for a pattern to them which should hear, believe on him to life everlasting. Now unto the King eternal, he said, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Paul, let the people know that he was a child of God, not because he was an intelligent man, not because he seek God, not because he went after God, but because he obtained what the verse said? He obtained mercy. You're a child of God because you obtained mercy. I'm a child of God because I obtained mercy. Without the mercy of God, we cannot be a child of God. And he went on to say that God did not give up on him. Look at verse 17. Paul was thrilled at God's patience and proclaimed, now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. He was really speaking about God, about his glorious God beyond his capacity. Let's look now at the challenge from his own life. He's telling Timothy, I got a great ministry, but I have nothing to do with it. God did it all. He used my cucuzza, intelligent, for those who speak Italian. He used my talents. God used my research. God used my intelligence. But everything I am is God. God and God alone. So Timothy, if you want to be somebody, have to be from God, he said. If a Bethel Baptist Church is going to make an impact in the community, it's going to be from God. Now let's talk about his life. What do you see, what do we see as we look at his life? According to verse 18, I see a courageous soldier. A courageous soldier. This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare. Some people think that coming into the ministry is a very peaceful profession. If those who are thinking in that way, please quickly and get out of the ministry. You must first be a man ready to war. War a good warfare. Paul was always conscious of the spiritual war that was in his life. He knew if Timothy was going to be effective, he would also have to be aware of his spiritual war. And he wanted him to have a war, a good warfare. Timothy, fight within yourself. The worst enemy is ourselves. He was a courageous soldier. He knew his weakness, and he fought for it. Also, he was a courageous seaman. Look at verse 19 to 20. Withholding faith and a good conscience, which some having put away concerning faith, have made shipwreck. You know, if you're not a good seaman, you're going to make a mess of the boat. Of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have delivered. It is painful to remember, but sometimes it is good to look around ourselves and see some who once was serving the Lord, but they took their eyes off from the Lord and made a shipwreck of their life. You know, my brother and my sister, if we take our eyes away from the Lord, we're going to make a mess of our life, what Paul called a shipwreck of our life. If your eyes are on the pastor and my eyes are on you, we're going to make a shipwreck of our life. We need to have our eyes set on the Lord. That's what the apostle is saying to Timothy. Timothy, look, Hymenaeus and Alexander, they were good helpers, but they now are in hell. They went away. So I'm glad I never put my eyes on them. I put my eyes on the Lord. So Timothy, as a pastor, never put your trust in any man. Just put your trust in the Lord. Is that a good counsel? What a soldier. What a soldier. He talks about his great and magnificent work. And he starts by saying, I was nobody, I'm nobody, and it is because of the Lord that I'm somebody. And then he talks about himself, and he said, I have a war within myself. And I fight that war. I don't want to let sin dominate our life. That's what he said. We studied in Sunday school class today that sin comes not from God. The sin comes not from the things around us or from the environment. Sin comes from the heart, which is the conscience of a man. And we studied the two solutions. In James, we study how sin dominates and makes you separated from truth. And in Corinthians, how sin can be dominated by a life which is spiritual. And how the Spirit of God controls your spirit. This is a good soldier. He knows the truth and he fights. And he knows that the worst enemy is himself. And he fights. So, I learned from Dr. Schaefer in Switzerland. I have a great time with Swedish people in vacation. They all spoke Italian, came from the Swedish area in northern Italy. Came people. There were no Americans, there were three or four only. And so it was a delightful thing to revive my Italian, playing polo and playing this. Everything was in Italian. It was just a delightful thing, experience, to revive my mother's language. And Paul writes something from that kind of background. And he puts together in 2 Timothy, in chapter 2 and in verse 4, like a summary of what a good soldier is. 2 Timothy, the next letter, chapter 2 and verse 4. He said to Timothy, talking still about being a good soldier, no man that worketh entangle himself with the affairs of this life. So Timothy, either you're going to be a pastor or you're going to be a businessman. Timothy, you're going to be a man who served the Lord, or you're going to be an engineer. You can't have both. A soldier doesn't entangle in both areas. No man that worried entangled himself with the affairs of this life. Why? Here's the answer. That he may please him who has chosen him to be a soldier. Wow. What is a good soldier? A good soldier is a boy, is a young girl, is anybody who had the Lord and said, from now on, I'm going to please the Lord. You're going to have a war within yourself. You're going to have a fighting every day, whether with your wife, with your husband, with your children, and in every situation of life, you're going to be attacked by the enemy to live out your Christian principles and act on yourself. When you do that, you are not fighting for the Lord. You're fighting another world. So the Apostle Paul said to Timothy, now leave everything out. Focus on the Lord. Focus on the Lord. And then please him. You're a good soldier. Wife? But the Bible said, wives, submit to your husband. Please the Lord, and you win. Husband, love your wife as Christ loved the church with a sacrificed love. And you win. Children, obey your parents, even when they are wrong. And you win because you are pleasing the Lord. Oh, Paul has taught us today to be a good soldier. I hope the Bethel Baptist Church is made of members who are soldiers in the gospel. Thank you, Father, for the great lesson today, the testimony of a good soldier. Bless us, O God, with that power of Paul
In Jesus we pray, amen.
Thank you so much. Will you please stand as we close? Remind you that today is Fellowship Sunday, and if you're a guest here today, you're invited to stay with us, and you will be first in line. We're going to have a moment of a beautiful meal together. Father, we fellowship today around the Lord Jesus. We heard the words of Paul to Timothy. Paul, a soldier, a veteran, speaking to a new soldier. And Father, Paul was speaking to us that we as Christians need to be aware of who we are, where we have been, and now where we are now. And then, Father, fight within ourselves to focus and be imitators of Jesus together, to share that love and compassion of Jesus and that discipline of our Master. Thank you, Father, for the words of Paul. Thank you for every believer here in the auditorium today. I know, Father, that we fight. Sometimes we win, sometimes we lose. But we thank you, Lord, for that word that Paul used, long-suffering, your patience with us.
Help us to be patient with one another, and especially with our family. Bless us and the fellowship that follow. May this be a very beautiful present in your sight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.